TED Audio Collective.
You're growing a business, and you can't afford to slow down. If anything, you could probably use a few more hours in the day. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate, no coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
Canva presents unexplained appearances. It was an ordinary workday until...
That presentation appeared out of thin air.
Also, it's eerily on brand.
Wait, did that agenda just write itself?
Words appear, making this unexplainable case...
Unexplainable? It's Canva's AI tools.
I can generate slides and words in seconds.
Really? The real mystery is why I'm only learning this now.
Canva.com. Designed for work.
A quick new idea daily from the world's greatest TEDx talks. I'm your host, Atossa Leone, and this is TEDx Shorts. Over the last year, it's become clear how the pandemic compounds the problems vulnerable communities already face. Some people can afford to stay home and isolate, while others have no other option but to work, regardless of health risks. Similarly, climate issues often affect marginalized communities the most. Michael Galopter is the co-founder of the Green Leadership Trust. Today, he advocates for all of us to rally around climate justice, a cause that will ultimately reduce inequality.
I'm talking today to you about climate justice, about the way these two things, these two words go together, why they fit together. I'm often asked, aren't they separate? Why can't we just deal with climate on the one hand and justice on the other and not worry about it as a joint problem? And the reality, unfortunately, is that that's really not possible. The climate box, climate change, I'm not going to go into it a lot right away. The second box of justice, we all know all too well from what's happening in the U.S. and around the world today, cries for justice. The disproportionate economic impacts of COVID and the recession, the disproportionate health impacts of COVID on different people. We can see all kinds of ways in which inequality is manifesting in very real life and death ways today in the middle of this pandemic. It also ties directly to climate change. There are real physical dimensions of climate justice. For example, in the U.S., communities of color, low-income communities are twice as likely to die. Members of those communities are twice as likely to die in heat incidents and heat waves. Native communities around the world are being driven out by drought, by the melting of the Arctic Circle, the changing of their lifestyles, of their life ways, of the places they live that they count on being solid that are turning into muck and in the process releasing even more CO2. Farmers around the world, low-income communities around the world rely on the weather, on predictability to be able to decide where to live and how to live and how to build their houses and how to sell their crops and grow their crops. And that's being turned upside down by climate change as well. When you look at the fact that we have fought wars for oil, that we've shed the blood of our young people to go control the regions that we poured trillions of dollars into. When you look at the reality of climate change and the reality of the fossil fuel industry, it's really hard to separate justice from climate. You see that they're inextricably tied in some really, really critical ways. The environmental impacts of climate change, the hot spots, the pollution, being in communities of color, its impact on health is a direct impact. The movement, the green movement itself, has often been turned a blind eye to communities of color, both in the ways environmental policies have been written and in the ways advocacy has been done. And the two core pillars of climate action, climate mitigation and climate adaptation, it's really easy to see how we do not get to answers without taking justice into consideration. The way we are living today is already unsustainable and untenable from a social justice perspective and, frankly, from an environmental perspective. Let's look at mitigation, for example. Climate mitigation is about how do you stop climate emissions. People often talk about the market capitalization of fossil fuel companies. They're a big part of our economy. But there's a day-to-day activity, a flow of cash that is projected in the fossil fuel industry to be around if we don't stop emissions. Now, what does that mean for mitigation? How are we going to stop that? Are we just going to turn the spigot off? turned off lunch trucks and food carts and truckers and refineries, and the whole ecosystem won't go gentle into that good night. As a matter of fact, the workers and the people in those industries haven't begun to be mobilized yet by the fossil fuel forces that want to fight climate policy. We can't win those battles without a just transition. So critically on the issue of mitigation, you can see immediately the connection of justice, that we can't solve the problem. We can't pass policies. We can't convince large amounts of the public to do this because their very livelihood depends on this addiction we have to oil. We flip that over and we think about things like the Green New Deal, and that is its purpose, is to re-envision, to say, hey, life is a lot easier than being an oil refinery worker or a bus driver driving a dirty diesel bus. There are better ways to spend our time than fighting wars in the Middle East, for which we've spent in the U.S. alone $6 trillion since 2001. What are some of those ways? One example would be, for example, mass transit. One of the ways we get out of the pickle we're in with climate change is to live in more dense communities and to share transportation. Wouldn't it be better if we just all lived closer together, where we could spend our time walking our children to school, dropping them off near where we work, taking shared transportation, private or otherwise, and moving around in a much more sustainable and green way? Obviously, it would be paid for through revenues and taxes and things like that. But again, we could live in a world where energy is seen as a basic right, almost like water or other resources that we have available to us freely. We might pay for it to make sure we don't abuse it. But the opportunity to make those kinds of changes are in front of us if we see the social dimensions, the ways in which our livelihoods and our pocketbooks and the way we earn a living and the way we feel about each other and being near each other could change. On the adaptation side, there are equally enormous challenges. Whether we're in a developing country or a massive global city like New York, how are we going to afford to rebuild that kind of infrastructure to protect it against the incursions of the ocean and floods and hurricanes and cyclones? So we're talking about cities that'll change the way they look, that'll have ferries instead of subways, that'll have surface transit instead of subways, where more housing will be built in a climate-resilient way, a flood-proof way, will recede from shorelines, and cities will develop their own personalities, their own art forms, their own urban designs. And all it takes is us saying, hey, property owners, real estate owners, wealthy people in all these geographies, you're going to have to change the way you make your money. You're going to have to invest with a view of social and community capital that takes a little longer to get a return. But that return comes and it pays for the changes we need. Without a focus on justice, we can't mobilize the communities to make those changes happen. So justice is central to solving climate change. It's central to the way the problem affects us, and it's central to the ways we need to solve it.
The TEDx talk you just listened to was recorded at a TEDx event in San Francisco, California. All TEDx events are independently organized by volunteers who believe in TED's mission of ideas worth spreading. Special thanks to the organizing team at TEDx Marin Salon. Want to listen to the full talk? Find Michael's talk and more at TED.com/TEDxShorts. I'm Atossa Leone. Thanks for listening, and see you tomorrow.